1 Samuel chapter number 17, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6. Church, basically what I'm going to do for just the next few minutes is just kind of whet your appetite on the subject of loyalty. You know, I wonder where it's gone today. Where's loyalty gone to? You know, Brother Shaddix, it almost seems to me like it's a forgotten character trait. I don't know if it's being taught. I don't know if it's being practiced. I don't know, but I know this. It seems to be quite evident that it is beginning to come extinct. And not just in the world. I'm talking about among the people of God. Loyalty seems to become an extinct character trait. And so we're going to look at a few things here tonight, just kind of whet your appetite. We'll get into it more of it next week. But I want you to take your Bible, 1 Samuel 17. Let's stand together, if you would. We're going to begin reading in verse number 20. Let me bring you up to where we are in the story. If you'll remember, if you know 1 Samuel 17, you know this is the story of David and Goliath. And remember, Jesse, David's father, had given him a job to go down and care for his brothers, and of course, he gave him some food items, and he made his way down to the valley of Elah, where Saul was fighting against the Philistines. And in verse number 20, the scripture says, "And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have you seen this man that is come up, surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Now listen to verse 29. And David said, What have I now done? Now listen to me. Do you understand Eliab was questioning his loyalty? Eliab was questioning his motive. And David said, What have I now done? And listen to this. Is there not a cause? Now listen to me, I'm going to read between the lines just a minute. He said, is anybody going to stand up to this guy? He said, we're the people of God. He said, we've had God's blessing on our country and God's blessing on our lives. He said, is anybody going to stand up and be loyal for the cause of Christ? He said, isn't there a cause? Do you hear what this guy's saying? Nobody stood up except David. And we know the outcome of this loyal young man who stood up for his country, who stood up for the cause of Christ. We know, as the chapter follows, that he slew the Philistine with a stone, a sling and a stone. Go over, if you would, now to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 19. Jesus teaching his disciples here, says in Matthew 6:19, Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Listen to verse 21. He said, for where your treasure is, write out in your margin, just write the word loyalty and draw an arrow to it. Because I'm here to tell you tonight, dear friend, that wherever your treasure, wherever your loyalties are, there will be your heart. There will your heart be also. And I want to speak to you on this subject, the character trait that's so forgotten, and that is the trait of loyalty. Now, Father, bless the few moments that we have together tonight. Thank you for the privilege that we have of serving the living God. And we'll certainly give you the glory for the outcome tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Church, tonight, America is suffering today because of disloyalty. America is suffering because there are people that are disloyal to her purpose. There are people that are disloyal to her cause. And those who are disloyal are trying to redefine our Constitution so that they can manufacture more disloyalty to our country. May I remind you that men and women for over 235 years have served America well. They've left their families for months to be deployed to the four corners of the earth because they believed in a cause and a purpose for which America stands. May I remind you that this flag right here, the red on this flag represents the blood of tens of thousands of people who have given their lives, and the one reason that they gave their life because they believed in America, that there was a cause and a purpose, and they said, my life, I'm going to give because I'm loyal to that purpose and that cause. That flag right there has flown almost in every country and probably has flown in every country around the world. Let me tell you something. Listen, folks, you want to get me upset, you let me see somebody try to burn that flag or sew that flag on the bottom of their pants. That's why they sit on it. Let me tell you something, I grew up in that generation in the 60s, those heathens, anti-Americans. And let me tell you something, you know what we've learned from history? History always repeats itself. The spirit of the 60s is coming back. If you don't believe it, look at the platform shoes the guys are wearing and the big bell. But listen, I thought those things went out. I threw that stuff out like trash years ago. It's coming back. And may I remind you, disloyalty to our country is coming back. And the sad thing is we got people in leadership promoting it. You see, tens of thousands have given their lives, the most precious thing that they possess, to defend our country and our freedoms. How dare we have people who cross our borders and enter into this great country and come here and be disloyal to America's purpose and cause. America's overrun with disloyal people. Listen, they refuse to submit to her purpose, but they sure like the position of freedom, though, don't they? They just don't want to commit to the purpose. Let me tell you something. There are great men. Yesterday, when we laid Brother Taft to rest, Brother Taft served in the Air Force. You know what? He loved that flag. He loved this country. He served this country. And I have a high regard and a high respect for those that have served, are serving, or will serve in our American armed forces. You know what it requires to go into the armed forces? It requires loyalty. Loyalty to a purpose. Loyalty to a cause. Loyalty to a country. And America is being overrun with people who are disloyal to our purpose. Disloyal to our Constitution. And let me tell you something. Could care less about this flag. Now listen to me. I don't know about you, but there's a cause. I'm proud to be an American. I'm glad. Listen, I understand I could have been born in another country around the world, and I understand that. But let me tell you something. You're looking at not only just a loyal preacher, my friend, you're looking at a loyal American. And I'll fight in a heartbeat for that flag and its cause and its purpose. You say, well, preacher, you may have to. Well, I may have to, and I hope that some of you will join me in fighting for that cause for which America for over 235 years has stood for. It requires loyalty. Do you know it's been said that among those who share a throne, there can be no loyalty. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, Jesus put it like this. No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Listen, you cannot serve God and mammon. He said you cannot be loyal to two masters. Our problem in America today is we're trying to hold God with one hand and the world with the other. The problem with great many church members is they're trying to hold on to their lifestyle outside of church and hold on to their lifestyle inside of church at the same time. And what's happened, they're getting frustrated, and all of a sudden they're saying, you know what? I just don't know if I believe in traditional worship anymore. I just don't believe if I believe in those old hymns anymore. I don't know if I want an organ in the church or a piano in the church anymore. This doesn't have anything to do with the piano. It doesn't have anything to do with the organ. Let me tell you what it has. It has to do with disloyalty. That's what it has to do with. And that disloyalty that we're seeing today is becoming more and more prevalent. Listen, not just against our country, but against our God. You see, church, when you hear the word loyalty or the word loyal, what do you envision as the definition? What do you think about? What do you envision as the illustration or the mental picture to help you kind of better understand what the meaning of loyalty actually is? Several years ago, I read a story about a man that pulled out of his driveway. He was driving down, I think I told this at the Married Couples Escape. He pulled out of his driveway and he was driving down the street, and he noticed right out in front of him there, he saw a dove sitting in the middle of the road. And he pulled up there and he noticed that that dove was standing beside another dove that had died. And that dove was sitting there in the middle of the road, and he couldn't go around. There were cars on both sides, so he just kind of, he figured, I'll pull up and, you know, it's going to fly off. It never moved. So he got out of the car and he walked up and he shooed the dove away, and it flew out there a little bit, and he started walking back to the car. He saw it circle around, come back and light right by that dove in the road. He said, well, that dove's going to get hit. So he went out there and shooed it away again, and he stood there a minute, and it flew around and flew around and flew around, and the dove waited. The man went back to his car. He saw the dove fly around, come light right back down beside that dove laying in the middle of the road. He thought, man, I don't want that dove to die. So he went down there and caught the dove. And he took and put the dove in his car, and he drove about a mile down the road. He said, listen, little dove, I don't want you to die. So he took that dove and he threw it up in the air, and it went way up in the air in a circle a few times and headed right back in the same direction he just came from. He thought, forget it. So he went on to his appointment. About 2 or 3 hours later, after he got finished with his appointment, he started on his way back home, and he was coming down the same street that he had seen the dove, and he noticed up ahead, he thought, that dove's gone. But as he got a little bit closer, he parked his car and got up. There was no longer one dove dead. Now there were two. You see, that dove allowed itself to have no obstacles in its way to go back to its mate. For those of you that don't know anything about turtle doves, they mate for life. He would not and refused to leave that other dove. Listen, and it cost him his own life. You see, when I begin to think about loyalty, I think about that story about a dove, and I think to myself, Brother Rayleigh, animals have more sense than humans have. They're loyal. They're committed. You see, that's what loyalty is. It's true to a person or a person. Listen to me. It's an allegiance to someone or something. You see, loyalty is generated and displayed by one's love for the person or the purpose. Folks, that's the reason. When we stand and we sing the national anthem, you ought to stand up straight, put your hand over your heart, and salute. And when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, you ought to stand up straight, put your hand over your heart, and pledge the flag because you're a loyal American. Say, preacher, what do you think about people who are disloyal to America? Go find another country. Hey, that's all I'm going to say. Because you know something? Let me tell you something. I have in-laws that died for that flag right there, and so have many of you. And I don't think that's funny at all. I don't think it's cute. I don't think it's funny. Let me tell you something. I think it's disrespectful, and I think it's the highest form of treason to that flag. You see, loyalty is shown through what one deems to be worthy of allegiance. You see, this allegiance that I'm talking about tonight, this loyalty I'm talking about tonight, is earned through one's authority and how that authority is managed. It's also earned through one's willingness to sacrifice. Hey, if nothing else, I'm loyal to this country because of the sacrifices that others have paid so that I can have this freedom. It's earned, that allegiance is earned through one's willingness to sacrifice, through one's service to others, through one's genuine love for people. But maybe it's a cause that we can dedicate and put our loyalty behind. You know, most people won't put their loyalty behind something unless there's some stability or ethics to the cause. Do you hear me? Have you noticed that not everybody's flocking to Canada? Have you noticed not everybody's flocking to Iraq? Why is it that everybody wants to get into America? Why is it that everybody wants to come here? They love the freedom. They love the economy. They love everything we have to offer. The problem is they want to take everything America has to offer except the loyalty. Except the loyalty. You see, the stability and ethics of the cause is something that ought to promote allegiance. The goals and future of that purpose, people will put their allegiance behind. Now, we're going to get into this next week. I'm just kind of throwing some things out there. You know, allegiance is also, people put their allegiance behind something if they know that those involved with it are supporting the cause and the purpose. Now, let me go back and say something to you. As a child of God, we ought to put our loyalty behind our Christianity because of its stability and its ethics. We ought to be loyal for what Jesus Christ saved us to do. We ought to be loyal to the goals and the future of the purpose, not of Christianity, but of the church for whom Jesus died. Hey, folks, do you understand He died for the church? Do you know what? I can't think of a more loyal cause. And Jesus said He died for it. Just as many has died for our country, the Lord died for the sins of the whole world. But listen, not only that, not only is Christianity stable and ethical, not only has the church got goals and a future, listen, we ought to support it just because of those that are involved in supporting the cause and the purpose. You know who's supporting Christianity and supporting the church? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. They're all supporting it. You know what? That ought to tell you something right there. That there's a backing behind the cause. You see, people aren't going to get involved investing in something that has no stability, no future, and is not being supported or backed by some security. You see, you have to be absolutely convinced on the product before you're going to invest in it. Look around. You know how many people are on the Trinity Baptist Church roll? You want to take a guess? Upwards of 3,000 people. Look around. Listen, I wasn't real good in math, but I don't think there's 3,000 people here tonight. Do you know some are home because of illness, some are home because of situations, but there's a lot at home tonight because of disloyalty to the throne. Now you listen to me. I said among those who share a throne, there can be no loyalty. And the Lord's not going to fight for the throne of your heart. You see, what I'm saying tonight is disloyalty is because somebody wants to sit on the throne. Somebody wants to sit in a place of rulership over your life, and the Lord's not going to fight you for it. You're either going to give it to Him out of your own free will or not. He's not going to come in and try to take it away. You see what I'm saying tonight, church, if the product has no stability, no future or support, no wonder people wouldn't invest or dedicate their loyalty to it. But may I remind you and take you back now some 6,000 years to a garden where God created man and where man had just fallen into sin and disobedience, and a holy God could have decided to just start over, but He chose a different scenario. Listen to me. What God chose to do, He chose to redeem instead of start over. He chose to redeem us instead of to restart. Thank God He had a redemption plan and didn't just hit the restart button. You know what happens when you hit the restart button, don't you? you lose everything. Okay? You're going to lose everything. And so God chose to redeem rather than restart. It all started in Genesis 3, verse 15. And God said when he looked at the serpent, he said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed, pride, depravity, and her seed, eternal life. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." What I'm saying tonight, church, is this. Here we have the cause and the purpose that's set forth and backed by the authority of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's more confidence here in God's Word than you will ever get, even if you picked up a Wall Street Journal or a Forbes magazine and they tried to give you some direction of what to invest in. I'm here to tell you tonight that you have a Bible that tells you about a promised, guaranteed investment, and you cannot go wrong. You know, it was for this cause of loyalty that Noah built an ark by faith. Listen, you know what? You've got to be pretty loyal to build an ark when it's never rained and all you had, Brother Bob, is a word to go on. So how long did it take him? Well, we know he preached for 120 years, so I'm assuming it took him 120 years to get it done. Listen, we got people can't be faithful 120 days. Can you imagine 120 years? Anybody agree? Everybody agree? Hey, Noah had to be loyal, right? He had to be loyal to his God. We know that he was from the line of Enoch, and Enoch walked with God, and God took him. He was not. Why? Because of his walk with God. Noah was loyal to God and built an ark by faith in Genesis 6. Moses was loyal to God. Listen, he didn't want to have to go face Pharaoh, but he said, "You know what? Lord, you haven't let me down. I'm going to go." God proved himself to Moses, and Moses exemplified loyalty when he went face to face, toe to toe with Pharaoh by faith. Listen now, at the risk of his own life, he was loyal. David was loyal to God, and by faith, we just read tonight, slew Goliath. I want you to listen to me. Listen, folks, let me give you a home reading project. Now, some of you, I don't know why, but some of you get bored to tears when you go read the Old Testament. Let me tell you somebody. You want to read the epitome of loyalty? Go read the book of Jeremiah from cover to cover. Go read it. You're talking about a man that preached and nobody would listen to him. Matter of fact, they imprisoned him, beat him, threw him down in a slime pit, basically down into a well where there was no water, there was nothing but mud, and he sank down in the mud. You know what God told him to do, Miss Martha? God told him, "So listen, I want you to go prophesy to the king, but I want you to just walk up there." He said, "I want you to put this yoke on." And so Jeremiah made a yoke, put it around his neck, and he went in before the king and prophesied with a yoke on his neck, saying, "You will go into captivity." You know what he got for it? Got humiliated. You know what he got for it? Threatened because he did it. You see, this man was cast in a pit, wandered around naked, went in with an ox's yoke upon his shoulders, preached to a bunch of people that could have cared less whether he lived or died. Can I say something to you? The apostles were loyal to God, and by faith they forsook everything they had. Can I remind you that the apostles, as far as I can tell, when Jesus called them out, they had never seen anything to substantiate when Jesus said, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." He didn't say, "Now wait a minute, guys, I want to show you something. I want to show you what I can do." He didn't grab a handful of water and run away and said, "Here, there it is. It's gold." Gold! He didn't do any of that. He just walked up and said, "Guys, follow me. Follow me. Follow me." They didn't see anything. Here's what we want. We thought, "You know what? I'll be loyal to you, Father. I'll serve you. I'll give you my heart if you'll show me something. Show me something. Show me that you're a good God." You see, his apostles were loyal and followed him by faith and forsook all that they had. Let me say one last thing here. Paul was loyal to God, and by faith preached even after he was imprisoned, beaten, stoned, mocked, and yet he was loyal to Christ. The church, I just wanted to say this to you tonight to kind of whet your appetite, because Trinity Baptist Church can never be what God designed it to be until we get loyal. You say, what does that mean? I'm talking about to where you're willing to die for the cause. You say, well, you know what? Can I pray about that, preacher? No, because if you have to pray about it, you're not loyal to die for the cause. Now listen to me. You know what made the difference between that 120 in Acts chapter 2? You know what made the difference between them and modern day Christianity today? They were of one heart, one soul, one mind. Listen to me. You know what they were? You say, were they, preacher, I thought they were afraid. Yeah, there was fear, just like there's fear in some of us. But you know what they were willing to do? Die for the cause. They were 120 loyal servants of God. You say, man, preacher, but sometimes the preaching gets hard. Yeah, it got hard in Jesus' day. And you know what some of them did? They walked with him no more. They became disloyal when the preaching got hard. When he started telling them various things about what it was going to be required of them to be a follower of Christ, they began to turn left and right and turn away. You see, loyalty today is almost a forgotten character trait. And may I say to you, it's getting more and more uncommon among the people of God. And I'm just going to say this and I'm done. My opinion, disloyalty to Jesus Christ is the highest form of spiritual treason that there can be. Let me say something, folks. What has Jesus done so bad? What has God done that's so bad that we cannot follow him and give him our loyalty? What has he done so bad that we cannot be in the house of God to worship him when the doors open? What has he done so bad to deserve what he gets in return? Oh, by the way, the epitome of loyalty, you see that cross right up there? Your Savior went there. And you know what he did? He fulfilled his commitment and was loyal to the cause. For those of you that weren't in here this morning, I spoke this morning out of Luke chapter 22. The greatest challenge in the life of Jesus took place on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed, and the scripture says, and he was in agony, a struggle, a contest between an opposition that one would win and one would lose. And praise God, Jesus won. But you know why? Because he was loyal to the Father. And if Jesus can be loyal to the Father, you can be loyal to him. Now, next week, when we come, I'm going to get in a little more detail because there's three areas. Listen, there's three areas that we need to be loyal in. Number one, we need to be loyal to family. We need to be loyal to friends. And we need to be loyal to the faith. And we're going to talk about those next week. Family, friends, and faith. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Who can say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved, no question about it. If I died, I'm going to heaven. I'll slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I'm a born-again believer, preacher. Born-again believer. God bless you. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, my prayer simply was tonight to communicate and just kind of